Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. Happy Monday. There's a lot that went on this weekend, so I know we have a lot to get into, but I wanted to just, I don't know, talk about just the last couple of days and the events that transpired. And I'm just wondering, how's this for coincidence? Shortly after the gargantuan $1.2 trillion spending package was pushed through by a traitorous Congress set on, you know, just sticking your grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren with an insurmountable amount of debt that they could never possibly pay off. We're literally just throwing their money away. As that's going on, or I should say right after that happened, the U.S. Department of Justice unveiled their latest initiative. Ta-da! The National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. Wow, that's... First of all, that's a lot of words. That's not, you say that three times fast. That is way too many words to be in one initiative title. But you may be wondering, okay, National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. But what is that? What exactly is it? Oh, you know, just a giant federal red flag program designed to take law-abiding citizens' guns away at a federal level. Yeah, nothing good. Attorney General Merrick Garland said in a statement over the weekend, "The launch of our National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center will provide our partners across the country with valuable resources to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who pose a threat to themselves and others." The establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark Bipartisan Safer Communities Act to protect communities from gun violence. Now, it goes on to say later on in this press release that was put out by the DOJ that these ERPO laws, they say, are modeled off of domestic violence protection orders. But don't worry, they create a civil process allowing law enforcement, family members, medical professionals, or other groups to petition a court to temporarily prohibit someone at risk of harming themselves or others from purchasing and possessing firearms for the duration of the order. So what that means is no due process, no opportunity to defend yourself from the allegation before your constitutional rights are just simply stripped from you. Just poof. Firearms gone in the blink of an eye. And I know that it goes without saying, especially if you're watching this program right now, you realize that this is like blatantly unconstitutional on multiple different levels. The first of which, of course, is your right to firearms, which shall not be infringed. Your right to, you know, against unreasonable search and seizure, your right to due process. The list goes on. So I can't even begin to describe all the ways in which this will be manipulated and used as a retaliation mechanism, whether it be from personal relationships or professional. So I just want you to just imagine for a moment. A man breaks up with his girlfriend, okay? So his now ex-girlfriend, let's say she is a mentally ill liberal, which consequently was probably why he broke up with her. But let's just say she has an axe to grind. Okay, so she calls the police. All right, so she's like, hello, yes, 911. I'd like to report an issue. My ex-boyfriend, he's threatening his own life and I know he has a gun. Please help. She hangs up very, very pleased with herself. And at which point, of course, he gets the police showing up at his door, potentially removing his firearms all out of retaliation. Or here's another one you can try on for size. A veteran goes into the VA hospital and opens up about the PTSD that he's been struggling with, which is entirely likely, right, to happen. Medical professional, likely a radical leftist since they've infiltrated the entire industry, asks if he has weapons at home. Medical professional then feels a moral obligation to call it in. I don't have to tell you what happens next. And here's one more from the Firearms Policy Coalition. We could pull that up. There you go. This is Randy. Randy posts a harmless picture of himself and his son at a gun range, which, again, totally legal, totally normal, totally fine. Karen sees Randy's post and calls local state agents to report suspicions that Randy might be a risk to the community. Biased state agents look at Randy's social media and use newly granted red flag powers to claim that Randy is a dangerous threat. Without allowing Randy a defense, state agents and the local court determine it's okay to confiscate his guns and use deadly force. And lastly, Randy is awakened at 3 a.m. by loud crashing noises, flashbangs, and death threats while his wife and son scream in terror. Randy is, I realize this escalated quickly, Randy is murdered while instinctively trying to protect his family, which is an entirely likely scenario under these types of red flag laws and red flag rules, which in this case were never passed by Congress. But don't worry. Trust the experts. This initiative is, after all, a public-private partnership coordinated between the DOJ and Johns Hopkins. You know, the Second Amendment experts over at Johns Hopkins Medical Center, who now get to just arbitrarily decide who gets to protect themselves and who doesn't. And all of this, I don't know, you may be listening to this and you're like, sounds a little fascist-y, but don't worry. It'll be totally fair. You know how I know this will be totally fair? Because the left cares about democracy and the rights of the people. That they can't stop talking about democracy. They love democracy. The democracy our country wasn't actually set up with. But they are super duper concerned, actually, about democracy dying. Here was Dr. Jill Biden over the weekend on democracy.
History teaches us that democracies don't disappear overnight. They disappear slowly, subtly, silently. A book ban, a court decision, a don't say gay law.
That's not what it is.
Before World War II, I'm told, Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe. One group of people loses their rights, and then another, and then another.
Okay.
Until one morning you wake up and you no longer live in a democracy.
Wait. One morning she wakes up. Okay. See, it's funny because one morning I woke up and the regime currently in power was trying to prevent their political opponents from being on the ballot, mostly by trying to throw their top opponent in prison while allowing illegal strangers unfettered access into the interior of the country while secretly working on newly unveiled projects designed to take law-abiding citizens' guns away while recategorizing the term domestic extremist to basically just mean white Christian men who don't believe our children should, you know, I don't know, be given porn in schools. Might I suggest Jill Biden find a mirror, look into it, and say the words, "We're the fascists. It turns out it's us. We're the baddies. We've been the baddies this entire time." So what I want to do is I want to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I think I have just the man who may have some opinions on this new red flag policy here when we return. I want to welcome my friend. He is, of course, advisor for Texas gun rights and author of Acquitted, the one, the only, Kyle Rittenhouse. Looking so, Kyle, you look so old in this picture on your book cover. You look like a grown man. I guess you are now.
Well, I'm only 21, Sarah. I don't know what age makes you a.
I don't either, but you just
18.
You've lived a lot in your 21 years of life. You have lived a whole lot in just 21 mere years.
Yeah, there has been a lot of interesting adventures in the past 5 years, yeah, to say the least.
I'm sure that it has brought you to a level of maturity that not many 21-year-olds your age have. So I want to get your thoughts, Kyle, on this National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center, which I'm just going to call...
A lot of words.
NERPORC. By the way, here's Milo. Can we... Yeah, I want to show Milo. This is quite possibly the cutest dog in the world. Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh, he can't stop touching Kyle. It's so cute. So what are your thoughts on NERPORC?
Well, NERPORC, the National Extreme Protection Order, something, something, something.
Yes.
It is a complete blatant violation of our Second Amendment rights. It hasn't gone through Congress because a lot of states failed this. And essentially what it does is it gives the power to doctors, law enforcement, and your family members to essentially call the police and be like, hey, this person's a risk to themselves and others without any evidence or proof, pretty much waiving that due process right that we have and going in and removing their firearms. And we have this saying, innocent until proven guilty. Yeah. And I look at this, this is kind of the reverse. They're coming in and they're stripping your rights, implying that you're guilty before you've had a jury of your peers decide. Mm-hmm. And I look at this, I look at red flag laws as, yeah, they seem great on their face.
Right.
And then you get into them and then they're taking away guns from veterans. They're going in and they're taking guns based on assumptions. And I just see this as a massive disarming of the U.S. population. And we see this every election cycle, but this is the worst I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I like that you bring up like it sounds good because it seems to be that that's what the left is. That's what they peddle. Right. They're like, well, it sounds nice. It sounds warm and fuzzy. We just want to save people. Right. We just want to help people. And so it's like, oh, well, that sounds really nice, except A, it obviously could be used for bad, you know, bad actors. And B, you know, it just so happens that it goes against the Constitution. And sometimes things aren't warm and fuzzy, but they are constitutional, right? But the left doesn't seem to be as concerned with the Constitution than making things sound like they're just trying to do something.
Absolutely. And I look at this like a majority of crimes are done from people who, one, can't legally own firearms to begin with. Two, criminals are going to find a way to cause damage no matter what. We look at the United Kingdom, for instance, and they have a ban on guns completely. It's almost near impossible to get a firearm out there. Yet there's stabbings every single day and people get creative with wanting to cause harm.
Right, right.
If people want to do something, they're going to do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So it's funny. I've had you, you're a busy guy these days. And
sure.
And we've been talking about getting you on for a while to talk about your book. And I want to do that. But it just so happens that you were in the headlines for something entirely different last week, Kyle. Again, I said you're a busy guy. So there were protesters, Black Lives Matter protesters, who went to your event at the University of Memphis and just completely disrupted this event that was sponsored by Turning Point that you came to speak at. And I want to play a little bit of that that protest and that whole exchange. Watch. Kyle, is this as people are leaving?
Yeah, so this is as Turning Point USA students are leaving, and that's not even the worst video. There was this one video from the president and a couple of the field reps in there in a truck, and these violent thugs were chasing down this truck. And I don't even know what these people identified as, because one was wearing a dog collar that looked like they were wearing a dog collar. One had like a leash or something and like blonde purple hair or something, like purple pink hair. And they were spitting and hitting the vehicle, and they were trying to leave, and they were just chasing it down, trying to cause bodily harm to these innocent people who came to attend my event.
Wow.
Memphis, I was scheduled to speak there. I was booked to speak by Turning Point USA at University of Memphis campus, and what ended up happening is the university revoked Turning Point's ticketing system the night before. Due to equality reasons, what they were saying.
Stop.
There's some other guidelines that will be here forever if we get into. But they ended up revoking that and implementing their own ticketing system, which they then proceeded to release to all the protesters and people who did not like me. And by the way, the people who didn't like me were welcome to come to the event. They were just too slow getting their tickets.
Wow.
So they did that, and then they let them, the rioters and protesters, know, hey, go and get the tickets at this time to this link. And they got every single one of the tickets outside of a few. I think I had maybe six supporters out of thousands of patriots who signed up in that room. And what they ended up doing, as soon as I came out on stage, they started booing me and calling me a murderer, a white supremacist. And I'm used to that stuff by now. So I walk out and
shouldn't be.
I just get up there and I start giving my speech, and I get about 2 minutes into it. And I said, you know what? You guys obviously do not want to hear me out. Let's roll into Q&A. And I did a 30-minute Q&A, finished my time I was scheduled to speak there. Mm-hmm. And they did not like to hear what I had to say, because every time I made a point, they continued to boo. And somebody was talking about like AR-15s and calling them assault rifles. And I'm like, well, assault rifles have been banned for a very long time now. Mm-hmm. Nobody can have an assault rifle because, mm-hmm. as you know, Sarah, mm-hmm. one trigger pull with an assault right. rifle is multiple bullets, right. semi-automatic, one shot per trigger pull.
Yeah, it seems that these protesters on college campuses don't know much about what they are going to protest.
I mean, it does make sense. University of Memphis only has a 52% graduation rate. So
really? That does make a lot more sense when you explain it that way.
I was kind of curious. I should have prepared better going into that, because they were screaming uneducated. And yeah, I don't have a college degree, but I also don't go to a university with a 52% graduation rate.
It's funny. So I want to, first of all, it's disgusting that they did that. And I am appalled that a university would conduct themselves in such a manner to try to, I mean, what would they have done? They would have been culpable if, God forbid, I realize I'm sure that you have good security, but let's just say, God forbid, they were the ones who instigated protesters and rioters showing up at your speech and someone made an attempt on your life.
Yeah, so I had a great security team with me. I had my dog, which doesn't really do any protection work. He actually does no protection work.
what are you talking about?
Yeah, best security dog out there.
He's protecting you great right now, laying on the ground.
Yeah, right? But I had one of my security guys with me who has a protection dog, and it would have been able to protect me if somebody ran the stage and tried to swarm me, because a dog is a lot faster than a human.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's disgusting to me that they even put you in that position on purpose.
Oh, it would have been the greatest thing ever for me to get killed at that university. The university would have loved it. And I love being alive today to share that, because honestly, if I didn't have security, they would have tried to kill me.
Well, that's what they do. I mean, we saw them do it to Riley Gaines when she showed up at an event. They assaulted her, and there were no repercussions.
No, I don't see there being any repercussions for the students who chase down and harass the other Turning Point students, because last time I checked, it is assault to spit on somebody, even if
it
they
is.
Are in a vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
So are they going to be reprimanded for that? Are they going to get suspended or charged with a crime? I highly doubt it.
I doubt it as well. So your book, Acquitted. It is out. It's available wherever you guys can get your books, and
RittenHouseBook.com only right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say it again.
It's only available at RittenHouseBook.com
RittenHouseBook.com.
And the ebook is on Amazon.
Okay. So I read this every word. And I read it. You sent it to me before it officially came out.
Yeah, you got the pre-release version.
Yes. Yes. And I was into it, and it was fascinating to me. You mention your education compared to these, you know, college age dimwits that are out there. This goes into like your personal story, your family life, you know, just your journey. And I just don't think, I mean, I think that people, the headlines that people got of you when this trial was going on for you was just like, oh, some spoiled white kid who went out looking for trouble. And that just could not be farther from the truth.
No, absolutely. So in my book, I write about growing up with a drug addict dad and a mom working so many hours to where she was never home so she could put food on the table, and how I wasn't privileged growing up, how I did have struggles. I grew up on government subsidized housing, and I was thrust into the national spotlight at such a young age and called all of these nasty things, and the media could never have been so wrong. There were maybe a handful of media organizations who were fair and actually reported on the facts and the truth of what happened, and you're one of those organizations who came out right from the get-go defending me.
Yeah, yeah, I was. We were happy to do it because it was absolutely the truth. So, I think last time you were on, this was a different show, and we talked about the civil cases against you, which really piss me off because it's disgusting that you can take someone, completely upend their life over bogus charges. They get totally like vindicated and, as the book says, acquitted. And then at that point, after you've tried to ruin his life in, you know, the court of public opinion, you drag him through the mud and give him, you know, endless legal bills on the other side, in the civil side. So I don't know how much you can talk about, but I was wondering if there is an update on all of that.
Yeah, so the update is we are preparing for depositions, and then we're going to go to summary judgment, and then I forget what it's called. We have to go to mediation.
You're still dealing with it.
Still dealing with it. It's going to be ongoing for the next 3-4 years and going to court pretty soon. And yeah,
just, you know, do you know who, how are the families paying for this? Do you know?
So the people suing me, yeah. I have no idea how it's being paid for. My assumption is that these attorneys think it's going to be a get-rich-quick scheme because they know I don't have any money, but they list me as a defendant anyways. But I think their goal is to try to get money from the county.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, because that's an interesting one because you're lumped in with the, you know, the county and the police department and
like 20 other counties.
Yeah. Everyone.
Absolutely.
It's just disgusting that you have to go through that. And I'm so sorry.
Well, it's okay, Sarah. I'm just hoping that we win this, which I'm sure we will. I'm hoping it doesn't get past summary of judgment. Yeah. Because honestly, I want to start working with some local politicians, congressmen and senators, and implementing new laws to say if you're acquitted for reason of self-defense or acquitted in a court of law, you can't be civilly held liable. Mm-hmm. And just add that to the double jeopardy.
Yeah, that would be great. So I want you, can you hang out?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Then hang out. Make sure that you go get Kyle's book. I consider, Kyle, I always like to tell people, I consider you a friend, but I realize, you're probably more controversial than me, so it's okay.
Just a little bit.
So usually I'm like, I don't know if you want to call me a friend, but I consider you a friend, and I still was, I didn't know so much that you have written in this book, and I'm sure that it was difficult to put yourself out there and write, especially being thrust into the public eye at such a young age, and I just want to commend you in this. It was a great book, and I encourage everyone to go check it out. Rittenhousebook.com. Rittenhousebook.com. And I'm going to make Kyle stay, hang out for the rest of the ride, and we will be right back.
Awesome.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
All right, joining Kyle and I along for the ride, we have Matthew Marsden, of course, actor and producer extraordinaire and Blaze TV contributor. I'm not. I need to work on my accent.
You got to work on that.
I got to work. I'm just.
I got to work on it.
I got to work on it. It's the wrong one. So today was the bond deadline for Donald Trump's $454 million New York civil business fraud judgment. And right in the nick of time, an appeals court ruled that Donald Trump only has to guarantee $175 million, which he has agreed to pay in cash. Let's watch that clip.
On the other decision, it will be my honor to post and we'll post whatever is necessary, whether it be cash or security or bonds. You know, it was a decision we appreciate and respect the appellate division very much. And we will, I think, do very well in that whole thing. We have a judge who I believe is a crooked judge and a crooked attorney general, absolutely crooked. We did nothing wrong at all, 100%. And that was proven, and everybody there said it was proven. All you have to do is read the legal scholars, and you see that it was proven. But we will continue with that, but we appreciate very much the decision of the appellate division. Thank you very much.
And because he was, he's involved in so many different lawsuits that they have waged against him, he also today appeared in court for the case that he is accused of falsifying business records in New York while covering up the alleged affair with Stormy Daniels, the porn star. I feel like I need a flow chart at this point of all of the different cases against Donald Trump, because you get them all confused. There are so many. They have literally weaponized every single judicial branch system that they can to try to, you know, just throw their political opponent in jail, which, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, feels a little fascisty. A little bit.
Just a little bit. You see these attacks constantly, like, accusing him of fraud. I see the real fraud there is putting him on trial to begin with and just suing him for everything he has, essentially, to try to not get him back in the White House because they're scared. Because we see the attacks that they're doing today, and they're just like, no, we don't need Trump to come in and fix what we messed up already.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, because I guess it turns out that's what you have to do when you can't run on your own policy, on your own, you know, champion your own wins, your victories. What is there? Higher gas prices, higher grocery bills, higher everything, botched withdrawal in Afghanistan, allowing over 10 million unvetted strangers into the interior of the country. What do you run on other than Orange Man Bad at this point?
Well, I think they're just sitting there and they're like, they have been such a disaster.
Yeah.
You talk about a flowchart for that. You need a flowchart to figure out how bad they've been doing, because normally, you know, you can go through a presidency and there's one thing that's really, really bad that happens. Like every single thing, the economy, everything is bad. And then they gaslight you by saying the economy is great. But I do want to say this. It would be awesome if Trump went up, he went, I'm going to pay the bond. I'm going to pay it in pennies. They're all pennies, beautiful pennies. I'm going to pay the bond in pennies. It would be great, wouldn't it? If he turned up with $174 million in pennies and made him count every single one of them.
And you would have to bring it in like a dump truck. And then just like dump it all.
You would need a few dump trucks for that. That would be phenomenal to say.
That would be epic. Isn't it sad that, I mean, you know, they're like, oh, don't worry. You just have to pay $175 million.
And not that much.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm like, he's like, oh, yeah, that one. That's fine. The $454 million. No, $175 million. That's easy. I'm like, can it just not be lost on us for a second how freaking much money that is just to post a bond?
Yeah, that is a ridiculous amount of money.
I can't even wrap my brain around it.
The other side of it is they were reducing bonds to zero in California.
You got
busted for an actual crime, like not even accused of something. I mean the whole thing is designed to, it's not only designed to break him, which, I mean, look, whatever you think about Trump, the guy's constitution is absolutely unbelievable that he will not give in. I mean, he's getting older. Like, let's face it, he's getting older. And he just keeps fighting. It's unbelievable. They must be, like, looking at him going, won't you just die. Like, don't. And he's like, no, I keep coming back and I keep fighting. It is staggering to me. But also, it's an intimidation tactic to stop anyone else from running for office, because they're like, listen, what we're going to do is not only we're going to attack you with all these different things, doesn't matter whether they're true.
Right.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to come after you financially. I mean, on X today, so many people were like, take Trump Tower. I'm like, you guys are Marxists. Like, that's all you are.
Yes.
And I just, again, we have to say this every single time I come on the show, Sarah. Like, are you watching? Do you understand? Are you involved in politics? Because it is him right now. But there's enough people that they've gone after.
Yeah.
like, and tried to destroy the lives of, right? It's going to be you eventually. It doesn't matter whether you own, you know, the local ice cream store or whatever it is. They're going to come after you. Or you know, you don't. I know there's certain things I can't say on YouTube, but you don't want your kids to have their bits, like, you know. They're going to come after you for that. It doesn't matter. It's that they're escalating. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Like, I've noticed this, a massive increase on social media in the past like month of people just losing their minds more and more. Have you noticed that, or is it just me? Maybe it's just
I don't know. I haven't noticed it. I haven't noticed any increase in frequency than usual, which is already a lot.
Well, they do go after you though, don't they?
Well, yeah. It's nothing compared to Kyle, I'm sure, but
he's like, you sit there like,
yeah, like, yep. I mean, to your point, Donald Trump did so famously say, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, and I'm just standing in the way.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you can speak to that, Kyle.
Absolutely. So I look at this like, if they're willing to make up all these lies and put a former sitting president on trial, what are these Soros-funded DAs going to do to everyday people like me or you? Mm-hmm. They're going to come after us. They're going to take our guns. They're going to indoctrinate our children. They're going to, like, I know we've been really working really hard to keep those pornographic books out of schools. They're going to start filling the book libraries and schools with that, to where they're just going to be pushing their own agenda. And it's honestly disturbing to watch. And seeing all this bullshit President Trump has to face is ridiculous. Because what happens when they convict him? Because I'm honestly terrified.
I am too.
That they're gonna get him.
I am too. I am too. And I, you know, it's funny because you talk to people, and when all of these cases first started, I talked to so many people who were just like, they're not gonna actually throw him in prison. And I'm like, do you know who it is you're dealing with? These people do not play by the rules. These people are very serious about winning at whatever cost. It doesn't matter.
I'm very curious to what's going to happen if they do convict him. Is it going to be like a save the queen moment from Secret Service?
Right.
Like, is Secret Service going to be in a shootout with New York police when they try to arrest him? Because you can't throw him in a prison cell. He'd get killed in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, they
want that to happen.
Exactly right. Exactly. So speaking of just reprehensible things being waged against Donald Trump, I want to play for you guys this just AOC. Big fan of the program. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez yesterday during an appearance on CNN. She said, Donald Trump ordered a terrorist attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Watch.
What do you say to a voter who says, well, that doesn't look like he's being treated equally before the law? That looks like somebody that the government is going after.
Has there ever been a president, Republican or Democrat, that has been subject to this level of criminal charges, indictments, and investigations? This
really
is not about
her.
Party. This is not about politics.
That's a
this
polite
is about
way of
corruption
saying.
And criminality. We're talking about an individual who ordered essentially a terrorist attack on the Capitol of the United States in order to retain power. That is not about being a Republican.
Essentially, it was doing some heavy lifting in that sentence.
It's about being an unethical and individual who is subject and prone
to
criminality. And unfortunately, this is the state that we're in. And I actually think that the fact that it's happening in so many places and so many jurisdictions cuts in the face of that. This is not just New York. This is Georgia. This is federal courts as well.
He ordered a terrorist attack, essentially. How much heavy lifting is the word essentially doing? He, of course, told people to peacefully and patriotically make their voices heard at the Capitol. I feel like you couldn't be more clear than that.
What about in 2020 and 2021, all the terrorist attacks at BLM and those politicians ordered against the United States? I mean, we saw it in Kenosha. We saw it in Minnesota. We saw it all over the country. Hell, look at Portland.
Yeah. Well, and to Kyle's point, what was Kamala Harris doing at that time for those BLM?
I mean, I know the Joe Biden campaign.
Please don't be asking me what she was doing at that time.
Well, I'm not talking about with Willie Brown. I'm talking about whenever all of these Black Lives Matter looters, rioters, I mean, criminals were doing their thing, Kamala was like helping raise money to get them to bail them out of jail.
Yep. I mean, Joe Biden put my face on the center of a hit piece when he was running for president in 2020.
Yeah, and called you a white supremacist.
Exactly. It's just, but we're the criminals. We're the terrorists.
Right, Matt.
I mean, we've said this over and over and over again, that they just lie. I mean, they lied about him. They've lied about, we see it all the time. And the problem that we have is that we don't have a free and fair press, because if we did, they'd be like, Pinocchio's. And you see it every single day. I mean, that's what's talking about the rhetoric on social media. People just say stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, we should just do this. Let's just take his stuff. I'm like, have you really sat down in your little pea brain and thought about what that means for everybody else? Because if by any stretch of the imagination, Trump does get in, you are enabling a course of action.
Oh, it's fair game now, baby. Game on.
And the problem is we always go, well, we don't want to do that.
I do.
I'm like, I'm sorry. It's really, really, we're at a bad point. I mean, we really are at a bad point. They want to take things from you. They do. They want to destroy you.
And they won't learn their lesson unless it is given back to them. I very firmly believe that. How else do they learn the lesson that what's good for the goose is good for the gander? And if you open this door and you open this can of worms, Pandora's box, it's going to be used against you in the future. There's no other way that they learn the lesson other than experiencing it firsthand.
But they have my humble opinion. No, but here's the thing. We have a useless GOP. Like, I mean, I know we said the other day that it looks like it's changing. But they're absolutely terrible at holding them accountable. So they're like, well, nobody's going to hold me accountable. Exactly. So whatever.
Right.
And that lot of losers over there, they're not going to do anything. And, you know, even when you see people like Rand Paul or whatever going after them, or Jim Jordan going after them, it never goes anywhere, right? And they know it. We all know it. Mm-hmm. Like, sitting there go, okay, you're doing these ridiculous hearings. Nothing's going to come of it.
Right.
Like, but with them, they're like, no way. We're going to pursue them. We're going to do the blah, 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 blah. And in all honesty, I kind of almost admire them, because they have the courage of their convictions and they get stuff done. If they say we're going to do this, we're going to do it. They all get behind their candidate and they just push because the mission is more important than the individual.
Yeah.
I've been saying this for a very long time. I don't think I've ever said this publicly, but the Democrats are really, really good at what they do, and the Republican Party really needs to step up their game when it comes to things like this, because some of the things like we push, we aren't very strategic when it comes to certain things. A lot of these organizations are groups.
Yeah.
I saw it in Oregon a couple of weeks ago. We aren't very organized, and we just need to get more organized.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, Nancy Pelosi, when she was Speaker of the House, she did not give a shit about bipartisanship.
Do it, please. Show me what she thinks about bipartisanship.
I don't say bipartisanship doesn't matter. All that matters is my vodka and winning. And that's what I'll do as Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. On that note, we need to take a break. We'll be right back.
So in an interview over the weekend, the Mexican president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, say that three times fast. That's a lot of names. OK, he threatened. Get this, guys. You're going to love this. He threatened that if the Biden administration doesn't give in to his demands, which were to give tens of billions of dollars a year to Latin America, B, work visas to 10 million illegal immigrants in the United States, C, lift sanctions on socialist Venezuela, and D, end the embargo on communist Cuba. If America does not do all of those things, then he says that he's actually just going to make all of the floodgates of illegal immigration worse. He's going to worsen our situation if we don't cave to all of his demands.
I mean, from the looks of it, I already see the Biden DOJ and Border Patrol already letting them in.
Right.
We just need to go ahead and get Trump back in office and finish this wall, because with Biden here, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, how much worse could it actually get?
I mean, we're already giving billions of dollars to Ukraine.
Yeah, billions of dollars to Ukraine. They want to spend millions of dollars. Not billions. The billions go to Ukraine. The millions might go to the border, but not for border security, not for like the wall that you're talking about, Kyle, but for more processing travel agents. Of course, Border Patrol, who are just going to process these people into the country.
Sarah, I fly a lot. I practically live in airports at this time. I know you do. And I'll be walking through, and some people have their boarding passes out, and I'll look at them, and it will just not have a name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just learned about this recently. I think I learned about it watching your show, and I didn't know how real it was until I have illegal immigrants sitting next to me on the plane or... they're going through security and not having to scan their ID. And I'm just like, I'm sitting here and I'm getting like four S's on my boarding pass.
Right.
And getting searched essentially and violated at the airport.
Right.
Getting my bags thrown apart for nonsense. But these people are just invited to walk on through and we have no identification or record of them of ever being a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
Half them don't even have a birth certificate, probably.
Yeah, they have no IDs. I'm glad you brought that up, Kyle, because that is a thing that happens. They have no IDs. And, you know, Kyle's over there getting a cavity search and these people don't even have to show an ID. And we have no idea what their name is, to your point, what their date of birth is. I don't know if maybe they should be flagged. And they not only get the boarding passes, I personally have seen these people get bumped to the front of security. I've watched them walk right past
me. You both.
Yeah, I'm like... What the hell? What do we get as American citizens these days? What is the point of being a citizen? Because it seems like it pays to not be one.
I mean, every time I go through TSA, it's always the extreme extent I go through with my dog because he travels with me. They're testing my hands for bomb residue. And I'm just like, I'm a 21-year-old kid with a golden retriever. And you have military-aged men who are coming across the border and you're not like giving them any extra security screening?
Nothing.
You're just sending them on through?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It really is. Yes. Matthew's miming the swear jar.
Who the f*** do they think they are that they can demand that the United States does anything? Who do they think they are? Sort your own s*** out. Stop the cartels and stop telling us what we can do in our own country. All right? You got it? Whatever your name is. I don't care what his name is. He can go and f*** off. Excuse my language. But no, right. Don't excuse my language. How dare they come up to us? They're trafficking kids over the border. They're trafficking drugs over the border. They're flooding the country with fentanyl. They're letting fighting age males come through and come across the border. And who knows what's going to happen then, right? How dare you? How dare they say that? I mean, can you imagine him saying that to Trump? Like, this is how weak we are. We are so weak. And this is what you get when you bend the knee, when you don't say that we're an exceptional country, when you say that we're just like anything else. We're not the same as Mexico. I'm sorry, we're not. If we were the same as Mexico, why isn't there a flood of Americans trying to get down to Cancun all the time?
Right.
Not for spring break, right?
Matthew, we're very well on the edge of becoming a failed nation under this administration. Yeah. And I see a lot of people saying that. I have a good friend of mine. He runs the Fear Not Do Right podcast. His name is Cade Lamb. His son is Sheriff Mark Lamb. And he's down at the border all the time filming it. He showed me a video of them in Arizona with hundreds. I think it was like hundreds of military-aged men with their insurgency, with their machine guns in the vehicle. And nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about the illegal firearms that they're bringing in, but they want to ban the firearms here.
Right, right. Well, and you know, you guys are talking about all of these illegals that are pouring into the country. Not all from Mexico, by the way, okay? Some from some very bad countries that...
Pakistan.
Yeah, Turkey.
Somalia.
Jordan, Somalia, Iran, all...
Hamas terrorists.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's just wait and see what happens in the next several years and how many different terrorist attacks we can pinpoint back to Joe Biden's open border policies. And I don't know, I'm just saying maybe the Biden administration should have some self-reflection after we saw what happened on Friday, which it was as of the time of our taping on Friday, we reported about the terrorist attack that was underway in Moscow at a concert hall, which left at least 137 dead and many more injured. And now we know that the attack was claimed by ISIS-K, which primarily operates out of Afghanistan. And I want to show a picture of all of the suspects. This is how Russia does it, okay? They find the terrorist and they beat the shit out of them. Because that's how these suspects arrived in court. That one in the top right, he's just unconscious. He's just unconscious because that's what they did. They beat them and they tortured them for daring unleash all of that in Russia. Which, I'm just saying, isn't a terrible policy. That's me.
You get to the point, you look at it and you go, who's doing it right? Like, really, who's doing it right? And where would you rather be? I'm not being funny. I know people don't like it. You know, we got to hate Russia. But the fact of the matter is if someone does a terrorist attack here, they should have the crap kicked out of them, right? And that, I mean, we've lost, like you're saying, we've lost any kind of moral high ground. Mm-hmm. It's pathetic.
Well, to your point, I mean, we're talking about a tale of two nations, okay? Here in America, we're being told by Mexico that we better work with them and provide all of this money to Latin America, or else they're going to really send the flood of illegal immigrants.
You know, Sarah, I just thought of this. Who's running the country, the Americans or Mexico?
I mean, seems to me like Mexico and Joe Biden have some sort of an agreement. I keep saying that Joe Biden must be getting commission checks from Mexico for allowing all of these cartels and coyotes to operate, which, of course, they run the Mexican government. So they're running the Mexican government, and Biden has just made it perfect for them to just come on over and create an entire industry. And you have to wonder how far that 10% for the big guy extends, because I'd imagine, I don't know, maybe Joe Biden's getting a commission check every month from the cartel and the coyotes for his participation in all of the trafficking of, as Matt pointed out, drugs and, of course, humans.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more, but we want to thank our sponsor, Birch Gold. So here's the thing. We're talking about how great it is under Bidenomics, except it's not. It's not. And inflation, it's not going away. The projections that they're giving, we keep actually outpacing the projections in the way that you don't want to outpace the projections. We're $34 trillion in the hole. We're still printing money, which is going to push the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can bury your head in the sand, or you can do something about it by diversifying a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold historically has been a hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold is going to make it very easy to convert an existing IRA or a 401k into a tax sheltered IRA in gold. You're not going to pay a penny out of pocket. All right. I'm not a financial expert, but my family has done business with Birch Gold. They made it super easy. And I was just tired of looking at my IRA just dwindle away. Okay. So if that's you and you just want to find out more, text the word Sarah to 989898. You're going to get a free no obligation information kit on gold. And if it looks right for you, you can talk to one of their specialists on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text the word Sarah to 989898. All right, I want to play for you a very Kamala Harris clip where she is apparently in Puerto Rico and they're singing a song and she's like, yay! And then her aide tells her that they're actually protesting her, as it turns out. So you know how Kamala is. She's like, oh, yeah. Okay, uh-huh. Then the aide's explaining, yeah, okay, right? Oh, okay. That is quite embarrassing.
Awkward.
Very awkward, which just about sums up Kamala Harris's entire vice presidency. Very awkward. It's almost like she didn't get there by merit.
I wouldn't say vice presidency, because who's really running the White House over there? We know Sleepy Joe isn't.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, it's sad because usually when you have like one person who you think is not running the show, their second in command is. That's not the case here. Just neither of them are.
She's not like a really calculated, plotting person behind, like, you know, I'm gonna like a Cheney, like, right. I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. She's like talking about space and.
You don't know which one of them is on more drugs. I don't know.
I mean, we saw Joe Biden. I'm not going to call him President Biden.
Yeah.
At the State of the Union. How much Adderall did they give him before that?
Oh, I swear it was like meth.
I mean, that's what Adderall is.
Well, I don't know. I've never taken either, so I have no idea. But to your point, it was definitely something strong, and we could see it wearing off.
I think we should demand a drug test and see what all the drugs are that Biden is taking.
I think we know whose cocaine it was in the White House, guys.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.